Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fundamentals of Credit and Credit Analysis, Corporate Credit Analysis by Mr. Arnold Ziegel, is a practical guide to the core ideas lenders, analysts, and finance professionals use to judge corporate borrowing risk. Rather than treating credit as an abstract theory, the book centers on how real businesses generate cash, how obligations are structured, and why seemingly profitable firms can still become weak credits. Readers are introduced to the basic language of credit, the purpose of credit analysis, and the typical information sources used in underwriting and ongoing monitoring. The emphasis is on disciplined thinking, understanding business models, interpreting financial statements through a credit lens, and translating numbers into forward-looking risk judgments. It also highlights how the credit process connects to common decisions such as approving loans, setting terms, identifying early warning signs, and anticipating what might happen in downside scenarios. For newcomers, the book can serve as an entry point into corporate credit work. For experienced practitioners, it reinforces fundamentals that support consistent, defensible credit decisions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, credit thinking, risk, repayment, and the purpose of analysis. A central theme in corporate credit is that the analyst is not forecasting upside the way an equity investor might, but evaluating the likelihood of being repaid in full and on time. This topic focuses on framing credit as a probability and severity problem, what could prevent repayment, how likely those outcomes are, and what recovery might look like if things go wrong. It distinguishes between willingness to pay and ability to pay, and it explains why cash flow and liquidity are the core drivers of debt service. The analysis mindset includes identifying the real source of repayment, whether operating cash flow, asset sales, refinancing capacity, or support from a parent or sponsor. It also covers the role of structure in credit outcomes, collateral, covenants, seniority, guarantees, and amortization that can shift risk between borrower and lender. Importantly, it positions credit analysis as a decision tool, not a purely academic exercise. The end product is a clear credit conclusion that supports actions like approving or declining a facility, setting exposure limits, pricing for risk, and defining monitoring triggers that help manage a portfolio through changing business conditions. Secondly, business and industry assessment as the foundation of credit quality, corporate credit strength, begins with understanding the business behind the numbers. This topic addresses how to evaluate a company's operating model, competitive position, and industry environment to determine whether cash flow is resilient or fragile. Analysts typically examine revenue drivers, customer concentration, supplier dependence, pricing power, cost structure, and the degree to which results are cyclical or exposed to shocks. Industry structure matters because it influences margins, volatility, and the ability to pass through cost increases. A credit-oriented review also looks at management quality and strategy, but through a risk lens, governance practices, acquisition appetite, financial policy, and track record in downturns. This section emphasizes that the same leverage ratio can mean different things depending on the business context. A regulated or contracted cash flow business may tolerate more debt than a commodity-exposed company with volatile earnings. The goal is to translate qualitative observations into risk implications. What could erode demand, compress margins, disrupt operations, or weaken access to financing? By grounding financial analysis in a realistic view of operations, the analyst can create more credible projections and identify vulnerabilities that may not be obvious from historical statements alone. Thirdly, financial statement analysis for credit, from accounting profit to cash reality. This topic explains how to use the income statement, balance sheet, and cash flow statement to evaluate debt service capacity and financial flexibility. Credit analysis typically starts by normalizing results to separate recurring performance from one-time items, then focuses on cash generation and obligations. Key areas include working capital behavior, capital expenditure requirements, and the difference between accounting earnings and cash available to service debt. Analysts often reconcile profitability with cash flow by tracking non-cash charges, changes in receivables and inventory, and timing effects that can mask underlying strain. Balance sheet analysis highlights liquidity and leverage, but also the quality of assets, whether reported value is readily monetizable, pledged, or tied up in slow-moving inventory. The discussion naturally leads to common credit metrics such as leverage ratios, coverage ratios, and liquidity measures, and why trends often matter more than single-period results. It also treats off-balance sheet style risks in a practical way, including lease-like commitments, contingent liabilities, and reliance on short-term funding. The objective is to build a coherent story of financial health that aligns the company's operational realities with its capacity to withstand stress while continuing to meet contractual payments. Fourthly, structuring and terms, how covenants, collateral, and priority protect lenders. A strong corporate credit decision is not only about picking good borrowers, but also about structuring facilities so that risk is controlled when conditions deteriorate. This topic focuses on how loan terms can shift outcomes by influencing borrower behavior and preserving lender options. Collateral and guarantees can improve recovery prospects, but their value depends on enforceability, priority, and the ability to liquidate assets under stress. Covenant design is treated as an early warning and control mechanism rather than a mere checklist. Financial covenants can prompt timely conversations when performance declines, while affirmative and negative covenants help limit actions that increase risk, such as excessive dividends, additional debt, or asset sales that weaken the lender's position. The topic also covers how maturity, amortization, and availability structures affect refinancing risk and liquidity. A short maturity can reduce long-term exposure but increase rollover risk for the borrower, which may matter in volatile markets. Seniority and intercreditor arrangements are also crucial, since where a lender sits in the capital stack drives expected recovery. The practical takeaway is that sound structure complements sound underwriting, improving the probability of repayment and reducing loss severity if default occurs. Lastly, monitoring and stress analysis. Spotting weakness before it becomes default, credit work does not end at approval. This topic emphasizes ongoing monitoring as a core discipline for protecting capital over time. Monitoring begins with identifying the key risk indicators that matter for a specific borrower: sales volumes, margins, backlog, customer churn, commodity inputs, inventory turns, and covenant headroom. Financial reporting cadence, compliance certificates, and periodic management discussions are used to confirm the borrower's trajectory and detect changes in financial policy. Stress analysis is highlighted as a way to move from static ratios to dynamic risk thinking. Rather than assuming the past will repeat, analysts evaluate plausible downside scenarios, such as a revenue decline, margin compression, delayed receivables, or higher interest costs, and then estimate the impact on liquidity, covenant compliance, and refinancing ability. This approach helps define triggers for action, whether tightening terms, reducing exposure, seeking additional collateral, or shifting the internal risk rating. Early warning signs often appear in working capital strain, increasing use of revolvers, aggressive addbacks, or rising reliance on non-recurring gains. The value of monitoring is that it supports timely decisions, allowing lenders and credit teams to intervene while there are still options, rather than reacting after cash has already run out. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a grounded, job-relevant introduction to corporate credit analysis, including early career credit analysts, commercial lenders, corporate bankers, students targeting credit roles, and finance professionals who collaborate with credit teams. It can also help business owners or managers understand how lenders view their company, which can improve planning, reporting, and financing conversations. The main benefit is a clearer framework for turning business and financial information into a repayment-focused judgment. By reinforcing how cash flow, liquidity, leverage, and structure interact, the reader gains practical tools for assessing risk, asking better questions, and avoiding common traps such as relying on earnings without testing cash conversion or ignoring refinancing dependence. Compared with many broader corporate finance texts, this book is worth buying because it stays focused on the credit lens, including the discipline mindset, the use of ratios and trends, and the importance of terms like covenants and collateral in real outcomes. That focus makes it more directly applicable to underwriting, portfolio monitoring, and risk management tasks, giving readers a useful foundation they can build on with more advanced credit and restructuring materials. If you would like to support Mr. Arnold's Eagle, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.